You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mamutsu, alongside me, as always, the three-time NBA champion, and every Monday, our weekly guest, part of the family over here, Mr. Scott Perry. How you fellas doing?
Awesome. It's always awesome to start my week off with you guys here on a great Monday. And Mo over here, it is Martin Luther King Day on this Monday, too. And so let's give a shout out to Dr. King, who meant so much to so many and really changed the landscape of this country and what he fought for and what he believed in. And so just let's recognize him. I want to recognize him on this day.
For real. BJ, you usually come here and tell me only terrific. You say life is amazing. But I'm not really an NFL fan, but I happened to watch a little bit of NFL this weekend. You know, I watched a little bit. I was excited. LiAngelo Ball was performing his hit song at Ford. Is it Ford Field? Is that where
Mo,
you guys play?
Mo would pull that out of that game.
Mo would.
All things, exactly.
All the things.
I don't think you guys understand. That's why I tuned into the game.
Exactly.
But I did happen to see, well, I saw the first half of the Detroit Lions, and I texted some of my friends because I knew not to text BJ because he probably has thrown his phone out the window by this point. I texted some of my friends who are NFL kind of experts. I said, are the Lions really going to lose this game? And they said, yep. And so I didn't even bother watching the second half, and I woke up in the morning and, well, Mr. Armstrong, how were you after this weekend?
Only terrific, Mo.
Stop
only
terrific. Stop lying to the people. Stop lying to the people.
Hey, Mo. Believe it or not, Mo, every day isn't a sunny day. Some days it rains a little bit. But some of us, Mo, can walk and know how to deal with the rain. So you know what? It was tough watching the game. You know, my shrink, Scott Perry, you know, I was able to call him during the game. he talked me through it.
That's crazy.
And I'm back, you know.
Can you give me an NBA comparison for the Lions losing that game? What would that be like in the NBA?
Well, I can't because here are the facts. Here are the facts. We don't make any excuses. You know, you got to play the game. However, when over half of your defense is missing because of injuries, I mean, they had what, 6 or 7 starters out, Scott?
Yeah, you did, or they did?
At least. No, the Lions.
The Lions.
Okay.
Really, for the last part of the last quarter of the season. At least.
Now, that's hard to overcome. That's not an excuse. We showed up, we played. In spite of that, we were still heavily favored to win the game. However, when you lose the starters, these aren't just guys that were on the defensive side of the ball. We lost 6 or 7 starters. That's hard to overcome. Clearly, scoring points was not our problem. You got to be able to stop someone. So in saying that, I also want to give a shout out to the Washington Commanders. I mean, that young quarterback, Scott.
Jalen Daniels.
He is the real deal. The real deal. And they played great. This young man is a rookie, came in on the road, and now they're one win away from getting from the Super Bowl in his rookie year. So, hey, when you get outplayed, hey, sometimes that happens. That's the way it happens. That's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. So,
Put it in context, the Commanders only won 4 or 5 games last year.
So this is like
the turnover. This is historic. What this young quarterback is doing to lead this team to.
The Knicks losing to the Pistons in the first round. Is that what we're saying?
No, because here's the difference. See, the Lions, you got to understand. You've heard BJ talk about this a lot. Both of us have. The Lions have been a franchise that for our entire lifetime that never was a favorite, that barely won, you know, a few playoff appearances here and there, but for the most part, losing was associated with this franchise.
That's why I said the Knicks.
No, but the Knicks have championship banners.
No, no, in my lifetime though.
Exactly. No, I got it. No, I got it. But what? Yeah. But what? I'm. But now you're going in as the favorite. They were the number one seed. They were the favorites to make the Super Bowl, and maybe number two right behind Kansas City to win the entire thing. So that's a different type of expectation and pressure that's new for the entire city, for the organization, obviously, and all those players that sit there. So now they felt that pain, you know, in football, a little bit different than basketball because of the attrition due to injuries. You know, yeah, you have injuries in basketball, but football is so physical. The Lions will have, an opportunity next year to be right back in the thick of it. And having experienced all of this disappointment, learn from it, should be a little bit better for it. Even if their regular season doesn't, what did they go this year? 15-2 this year? They may be 13-4, 12-5 next year, but they may be better equipped in the playoffs next year because they have gone through the heartbreak, disappointments, and played with a lot of backups on the defensive side of the ball, get their regulars back. You know, the depth will be a lot better. I think the Lions will be back in contention next year.
So are you guys still going to be going to the Super Bowl or are those plans changed?
Those plans have significantly changed.
It's okay. It's okay. You can you can save those miles because shortly after the Super Bowl, we have All-Star Weekend. And we're not far away from All-Star Weekend, about a month out. So I wanted to get from you guys who you think deserve to be in the All-Star game this year. We're going to start off by breaking down starting five from the East and a starting five from the West, two guards and three forwards, as I guess they call it now, since they took centers out of the All-Star game a bunch of years ago. I want to know who would be on your selections based on their performances this season to be the All-Star stars, or not stars, because it's not East versus West anymore. It's a weird format with four teams doing some sort of competition. But, but I digress. Scotty P, let's start in the Eastern Conference. Okay. I think when you look at the Eastern Conference, I think Donovan Mitchell has to be a lock at that guard position. I don't think anyone can make a case that Donovan Mitchell shouldn't be a lock at that guard position. But who's the other guard that you would put alongside him?
I definitely agree with you on Donovan Mitchell. First place team, they're playing terrific basketball. He's their leading scorer. He's been the leader of that team as well. So I think you have to submit him in there as a starter at that guard position. I'm gonna. Who currently right now, Mo, is the other vote getter behind him?
I thought LaMelo was leading. Wasn't LaMelo?
Yeah, LaMelo's leading.
In the latest returns, Ball leads all Eastern Conference guards with almost 2 million votes. If you want the numbers from the fans, LaMelo Ball is at 1, Donovan Mitchell's at 2, Dame Lillard's at 3, Jalen Brunson at 4, Trae Young at 5.
Okay, I'm gonna surprise you who I would pick. Forget what the fans are picking.
I think it's going to be the same performance. Same person I'm going to pick.
Performance. And I'm going to say Cade Cunningham.
Yep. Speak on it, Scott. Speak on it.
Cade Cunningham, what the Pistons are doing to this point, a couple games above 500, they're in the playoff mix. His growth this year as a player at both ends on the floor. And I really like what I see from him passing the ball. Still a little bit high on the turnover side of things. But I never questioned this young man's confidence. Extremely confident player. His shooting of the basketball continues to improve. And he's starting to exhibit some better leadership qualities for this basketball team. So I've got to give a shout out to Cade Cunningham right now as being the other guard. Now, I don't know that he's going to get selected to it, but just based on performance and the guys I've watched this year, it's going to be Cade Cunningham for me.
BJ, the rest of the voting is Tyrese Maxey at 6, Cade Cunningham at 7, Darius Garland at 8, Jordan Poole at 9, and Tyler Herro at 10. But which two guards would you have starting for the Eastern Conference and the All-Star game?
Well, I have to agree with both of you gentlemen here. Because when you look at the game and the performance, which is the overriding factor here, Cade Cunningham is very deserving when you look at this list. What they've done, their team has significantly improved. Scott made an excellent point. His leadership and what he's doing consistently night in and night out as their best player for the Detroit Pistons. So I think Cade Cunningham, when you look at this list and you look at the players at the guard position, Donovan Mitchell and Cade Cunningham are both very deserving to be there at All-Star Weekend.
Mm-hmm. And think about this too, when we talk about both of those teams, yeah, we thought Cleveland was going to be good. We didn't know they were going to be this good. Now we know that Evan Mobley has improved greatly, and that's a big part of this too on the Cleveland side of things. But the Detroit Pistons were the worst basketball team in the league last year
in terms of records.
Exactly. And now to be talking about them in terms of playoff possibilities and things of that nature and having a winning record at this stage, no one in the basketball universe had predicted this or saw this. So that's another reason to me. We talk about it all the time. BJ says it all the time. You hear me say it, Mo. Players that impact winning. Winning is what really matters. And so to me, these two individuals have embodied that this year with both their respective ball clubs.
And I do want to clarify for the fans who might be a little angry hearing this, is we're just talking about the two stars. We're not talking about, like, Jalen Brunson should be an all-star. Mm-hmm. Dame Lillard may well be an all-star. Like, we're just talking about the two mm-hmm. spots in the starting lineup. We'll talk about the rest of the spots later on. But in the Eastern Conference, the front court, you're going to have Giannis there. You got to have Jason Tatum there. Yes. That third spot, is that Karl-Anthony Towns? Is that Paolo Banchero? Is that Jaylen Brown, Evan Mobley? Who are you guys looking at for the front court? What are the three players that you're picking?
Got to go with Karl-Anthony Towns. Got to give him his due. He's come there after the trade, posted extreme numbers there, playing extremely well for the Knicks. One of the main reasons they're sitting in the third seed right now. So for me, Karl-Anthony Towns would be the center alongside the two forwards you just mentioned, and Giannis and Jason Tatum.
BJ, who's the three that you would pick?
Karl-Anthony Towns for sure. But just a little below that is Evan Mobley. Okay. Oh, yeah. Paolo hasn't played enough.
Exactly.
He hasn't played enough games. Mm-hmm. But Evan Mobley he's on the heels right after Karl-Anthony Towns because of their
record. He should have a berth. Yeah, and he should definitely get an all-star berth for sure.
Yes. So, but I think Karl-Anthony Towns, what he's done, he's made the transition. He's put up, big numbers there in New York. But Evan Mobley is right there, right on his heels, okay, of being immediately after the starters. But I agree with that. I agree with Giannis and Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So far we're kind of solidified with Donovan Mitchell, Cade Cunningham, Giannis, Tatum, and Cap, right? As a starting five for the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it's a 12-man squad. So we'll do the same exercise for the bench and then have two kind of wild card players who also deserve to make it. So which two guards would you then have on your bench?
Well, Jalen Brunson has to be one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Brunson, are we considering Jalen Brown a guard, or are we going to consider him a forward?
I think at the moment, in terms of voting, he's down as a forward.
Forward, yeah, okay. Small forward.
Drew Holiday and Derek White at the guards.
So then I'm going to, I'm just letting you into my thought process, but I always thought about playing him at the two guard one day. Jalen Brown. I would say Jalen Brunson and Dame Lillard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. BJ, the same two names that you would have?
No, I'm going to say Jalen Brunson and Trae Young.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Trae Young.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Valid. And then for the front court, B, BJ, I know you're going to put Evan Mobley, but the question is, would you also have Jarrett Allen?
That's a possibility. I would have Evan Mobley and Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get three. Yes, so
and then Jared Allen would be. And the only reason I don't have Paolo there is because he hasn't played enough games.
He's been hurt.
Okay, so but I would have Jaylen Brown. I would have Evan Mobley, and then Jared Allen.
What about you, Scott? Would that be the same?
Yeah, I have no problem with that. That list.
Okay, and then we got two more spots.
I think it's gonna be a little tougher. Yeah,
we got two more spots on the roster.
Well, for me,
or one more spot. We're different. If we're doing it as a combined team.
Trey/Dame. Exactly. Yeah. So no, Trey would be my, one of those two spots that you just talked about. He would be my add-on there. And boy, after that, it gets tough for me. Again, I'm looking for the winning teams. No one on the Pacers. I know Halliburton has been an All-Star before, but I don't believe he's played.
Yeah, Pascal. Well enough. I think Halliburton's had such a disappointing season.
But yeah, he, yeah.
For me, so he's not an All-Star this season. I think.
Jared, I didn't mention, we mentioned Jared Allen before. What about Darius Garland?
Yep, three All-Stars for the Cavs. Four All-Stars for the Cavs then.
I mean, the way they play.
What about LaMelo Ball? He's leading the fan voting.
And I'll give you another. Look, he has been injured a lot as well. Mm. He's one of the worst teams in the league. I just don't believe in rewarding that. Mm. I'll give you another name who's having a career year, because I'm down here, is Tyler Hero.
Mm-hmm. I think Tyler Hero, especially with all the drama that's going on in Miami, mm-hmm. with Jimmy Butler not really being there, I wouldn't be mad if I saw Tyler Hero as an All-Star this season. BJ, what do you think about that?
I'm okay with that. This is tough. I was just, as I was listening to the names here, I think you have to consider the Cavs, right? Darius Garland, mm-hmm. who is, if I remember correctly, he's been an All-Star.
Yeah.
He has.
Jared Allen has been an All-Star.
Yes, he has.
Okay. But Tyler Hero is worthy. I mean, when you talk about obstacles and adversity and they're still hovering around 500 or so, you have to respect that. And he arguably has been their best player, their most consistent player all year.
If you had to pick that final spot between Darius Garland, who's on the number one seed and obviously had a very winning season so far, or Tyler Hero, who's having the best season of his career whilst in a very difficult situation, which player would you give the edge to?
That's kind of a coin flip for me, because you can make a strong case for both guys, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't be mad with either decision. Now, obviously, the guy you leave out would be disappointed, and rightfully so, and have a strong case to be in it. But because Tyler Hero, like you said, the Miami Heat, some kind of way, still figure out how to be relevant in the conversation. They're sitting in the eighth seed right now. They're in the playoff mix. Wouldn't surprise anybody if they rose up to six or they stayed at eight. But to watch them grind it, night in and night out, and he has been their best, most consistent player this season. But again, I go back to my days in Detroit when we were really good and we were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. We put four All-Stars mm-hmm. in that game. We have Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, and Chauncey Billups all become All-Stars that same year. So I could see the same thing happening this year with the Cavaliers.
Okay, let's talk about the West, because similarly to the East, there's a player. Let's start with the guards, the starting lineup, the guards. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a lock to be a starting guard in the All-Star game for the West.
Absolutely.
Who do you want to see alongside him, though?
Well, it's in San Francisco. Come on.
you put in Steph Curry?
Come on.
The 11th placed Warriors, Steph Curry?
He
I thought we were about winning, B. Let's stay consistent. No.
They do have a winning record, though.
Consistent on my principles.
I'm going to say consistent. And what's their record?
21-20
21-20
Which could change in 2 days' time. They could be below 500.
There you go. Well, today I'm standing on the principle. They do have a winning record, and it's in San Francisco. And more than likely, this will be the last time in Steph Curry's career that it will be in the city in which he plays in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's the...
So, therefore, it's All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
And let's also say this. Body of work. His body of work stands on the principle of what he's done. So he should be a starter in the NBA. No questions asked.
hey, Mo, you know, BJ always understands the commerce that comes along with this. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It is with this game being in San Francisco, and Steph Curry's averaging, what's he averaging, 23 a game or something like that, 24, 25 a game? Still shooting the three, still...
Yep, 23 a night on 41% from downtown.
Downtown, and still has the Warriors relevant in his home arena. You have to...
But I preface this
by saying... You have to send him out.
Based on...
As a starter.
Their performance this season. Put the business to one side for a sec.
Well, to me, the only guard that would be in the conversation, because I think he, again, is... one of the most talented guys in the league would be Anthony Edwards.
And no, definitely not. To start the All-Star game for a team coming off a conference finals and now they're fighting to be in the play-ins positions. I can't
Who's
see.
That?
Anthony Edwards.
You don't see Anthony? Yeah, Anthony Edwards. That's what I said. Anthony Edwards is tremendous. That's what I'm saying. That's someone you
can... Oh, he's a great player.
I think you can argue Ja Morant. I think you can put
And they're third place here. But Ja's missed...
I think
he's played a lot, but he's you know, missed a certain amount of games too. But yeah, Ja.
I think if we sit here every week and we talk about being principled and winning, I can make a case for James Harden, because no one expected the Clippers to be better than the Timberwolves and better than the Warriors and better than the Suns and better than the Mavericks, especially without Kawhi Leonard for the first however many months of the season. I think I could make a compelling case for James Harden, but I know that's not going to be
I would say this. All those teams we're talking about, they're within three games of one another. It's not like
At the end of the season, they could still be within three games between one another. It's who's they won could the most be, games. If you come second in a race, it doesn't matter how quick your time was and you were 0.1 seconds off winning, you still lost. So
no, I agree with that, but I'm saying in terms of making the case for him, because they're seated right now at 5 and the Timberwolves are seated at 8. And matter of fact, the Timberwolves have beaten the Clippers, I believe, twice this year already.
Mm.
You know, and again, Steph Curry, like, it's just hard. I think with Steph Curry and guys like that, Durant, people like that, there is such a thing when it comes to all-star bursts too, the body of work with those guys, you know, that has to factor in because they're still playing at a high level. Now, look, if they were averaging 10 points a game, that's something different. But these guys are still, you know, in the top tier in terms of what they've done for the entirety of their career, and that's shooting and scoring the basketball. You got to give up a nod. So I have no problem with Steph Curry being the other guard alongside Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as a starter.
Okay. In the front court, Nikola Jokic, most definitely.
Yeah, no brainer. No discussion.
But as I said before, based on their performances this season, because we know LeBron will get voted in because he's LeBron, right? But based on their performances this season, which other two players alongside Nikola Jokic would you give that look to?
Mm. Well, yeah, I mentioned Kevin Durant. I think I'm gonna put Kevin Durant there.
KD?
Phoenix, yeah, I'm gonna put KD in there. Yeah, I'm gonna put him again as a guy who has done it for a long time, still playing at a very good level. I know that the Suns have been disappointing, but they still have a winning record to this point. But give me KD as one of the guys that goes alongside Jokic. If we're gonna put Steph, I gotta put KD there for me. And I know a name. I'm surprised it hadn't come up yet.
Same.
Victor Wembanyama. Now he's, you know, again, there are a few games under 500, but they are a much improved basketball team. They're more relevant. I do expect that they're going to fight and try to claw their way into that, at least the playing realm. And just what he's doing defensively and his talent, I believe he will be the other guy.
What do you think, B? Jokic, KD, and Wemby?
We have two guys, right? We have two guys, right?
Assuming that you're going to include Jokic.
So well, Jokic, yeah, Jokic. LeBron makes it, but
based on this season, you put in LeBron.
Based on this season, okay. I'm going to say based on this season, okay. The Rockets have to have representation based on what they've done. Sengun has to be there.
There we go. I thought I was the only one who was going to say it.
No. I think he has to be there. The Rockets have to have some representation this year.
I agree. No, they need to have some representation. Were you going to put him in as a starter?
No. Jokic and LeBron James.
You get three for the front court. You got two guards. Okay.
You got one more front court. Yeah.
Okay. And
give me Jokic, Sengun, and Wemby. I don't care what anyone says.
Well, I got to stay to the – Kevin Durant has to be that third guy. But Sengun has to have representation. Now, I can't put him above Kevin Durant. I can't put him above Kevin Durant.
No.
However, what I can say is that there has to be some representation this year. And I'm going to have Sengun, and then I'm going to have Victor Wembanyama, just because we got to stay principled in what this is all about, even though he doesn't have a winner. Because he didn't make it last year. Victor Wembanyama has to be there this year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you can make an argument for Anthony Davis.
Do you know who else you need to make an argument for?
Oh, Anthony Davis, for sure.
Anthony Davis, that's what I'm saying. You can make an argument for Anthony Davis.
I think Jaren Jackson.
I can't put him above any of those guys that
I just said. The Grizzlies are second in the West.
I think Ja Morant will be their representative.
Yeah, Ja Morant. Yes. Ja Morant has to be there. I don't know about Jaren Jackson. And I think he's had a terrific season, but he's not ahead of Kevin Durant. He's not ahead of Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Just if we're gonna stay consistent with the Steph Curry thing and the Kevin Durant thing,
yes.
And both of them are playing. Anthony Davis was really playing terrific to start the year off too.
Right. Yes, he was.
He was playing as well as anybody in the league. But those guys have a built-in built-in greatness, amount of achievement on their ledger. So when you start talking about filling out the all-star rosters, unless somebody is knocking those guys out of the ballpark with their performance, it's hard not to include those players on the all-star team. So when it's all said and done, Anthony Davis and LeBron James will be all-stars in San Francisco.
Okay, so let me ask you this, though, just circling back to when I said Jaren Jackson, you guys said Ja Morant. Ja Morant's played 24 games. Jaren Jackson has played 40 games this season. He's averaging more points a game than Ja Morant, and I understand Ja Morant is the big name and has the flashy highlight plays, but if we're basing it on performance this season, I don't know how you can make a case that Ja Morant would be more deserving if Memphis only gets one player going to the All-Star game.
I'm just going to say it. Based on highlights alone, he should make the All-Star. The All-Star team.
Highlights before or after the whistle is blown?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to say this. The kid, the one kid that I'm just going to move on, I'll let you guys talk about that, is Jalen Williams from the Thunder. Now, Jalen Williams.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Okay, the Thunder so there's only 12 spots. We've already said it. SGA, Steph, Wemby, KD, Jokic, that's five. Şengün, AD, LeBron. So that leaves four more places in this team. So if you're going to put Ja Morant and Jalen Williams, then there's only two more spots.
I'm just saying, I don't know what we're thinking here, but
Ja Morant. Did you mention Anthony Edwards?
Anthony Edwards, yeah.
Listen, he's got to be on there.
Yep.
Anthony Edwards has to be on that team.
Yep. And then what? James Harden?
You mentioned James Harden. I mean, he's going to get some consideration.
What about Luka? Luka's
injured.
He's missed so many games, and I think he's injured past that time too.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be healthy. Otherwise, I would have Luka. But what about Kyrie?
He's missed a lot too.
What about either?
What about what about what about that? You know, I too. I think I was getting ready to say the Kings are starting to surge back up. What
Nine
about
and one over the last 10?
Yeah, what about De'Aaron Fox?
I'm not mad at that.
The Western Conference is tough. There's so many
The Western Conference is a lot tougher.
Do you want to know what the fans are voting right now in the Western Conference?
Yes, I'd like
in
to
the
hear
front
that.
Court, Jokic, somehow, some way, Jokic has got more votes than LeBron. Jokic at one, LeBron at two, then KD, Wemby, Anthony Davis, Alperen Şengün, Jalen Williams. Andrew Wiggins is eighth in front court voting for the Western Conference. Because he's the favorite player of a K-pop band who encouraged their fans to vote for Andrew Wiggins. And then Domantas Sabonis and then Jaren Jackson Jr. In the backcourt, you've got Shea, Steph, Luka, Kyrie, Anthony Edwards, James Harden, Ja Morant, De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker, and Norman Powell.
You're talking about somebody having a terrific year, Norman Powell. He's played great.
Norman Powell is my pick for the most improved player this season. Because
I have no argument with that.
Yeah, I'm tired of the award going to second or third year players who are just making a leap. Mm-hmm. Everyone expected it.
Yeah, no, I have
I'm
no
here
argument
for 31 year old Norman Powell saying, "Forget Paul George, we don't need you." I'm here.
Yeah, now I tell you who's going to get a lot of attention. We talked about.
Are you okay, BJ?
But who's going to get a lot of attention for the award as well? Though is going to be Evan Mobley. Because when you say younger players,
but that was the expected leap, though.
Well, but you still got to make it. You still got to make the leap. We can sit here and say, Evan Mobley's going to be this great player. But until he does it, it's just potential.
But I thought he should have done
it. It was a great baseball player years ago, Mo, by the name of Reggie Jackson. And when they asked him about potential, he said the word potential just means you're not worth a damn yet. You're not good enough yet. That was his line. And that until somebody realizes that, then you can put them in that top tier great.
You say that, Scott, but I see NBA teams giving out $10 million a year rookie deals to players based on potential. So
I'm not arguing that. That's a whole different conversation.
They were something to someone.
There are a lot that have done that. You get no argument from me there. But I'm just saying, in terms of for this discussion, and when I bring up Evelyn Mobley in terms of most improved, that guy had to go out and do the work. He had to get stronger. He's become much more assertive. He's developed into an all-star. There's no way Evan Mobley is not going to be an all-star on the Eastern Conference team. So that is a huge jump. Look, Cade Cunningham was averaging more points and doing more for his team, even though they're losing a lot. But to me, he's got a real opportunity to become an all-star as well, too. So,
Well, those are our all-star lineups. You guys listening to this, join the Discord server and let us know what you think and who you would want to pick. But let me ask you a question for the 2026 all-star game, seeing as we're talking about most improved. Who will be making their first all-star appearance next year? Let's call it now. So that next year we're not surprised when it happens. Who do you see a year from now making that leap and making their first All-Star appearance?
Huh. Mo,
this is a tough question.
That's a very tough question, Mo. It's because there's so much that goes into what's going to happen in the off season with these teams. Right, what teams are going to be stronger, better? Injuries. Well, I don't know if that's a really even a fair question to ask. Now, I'm going to tell you who I expect to maybe be a comeback player of the year next year. So if you want to put him in that game, you can put him in the game because he's missed out a lot. It's Chet Holmgren.
Mm-hmm.
We've forgotten about him.
Absolutely.
And I would expect that he comes back. He, obviously he's never been an all-star before, but he has shown a lot of potential, and that potential was turning into very solid production for the OKC Thunder. And with them being a relevant team for the next decade, probably, given the talent and the youth of the talent that's there, I expect him to make a nice jump. He, and I'm going to give you another name, and his guy's hurt too, but he was playing really well before he got hurt, is Franz Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Another below-the-radar guy. He was playing really well when Bancaro went out and was carrying that team, and they were winning a lot of basketball games until he suffered that same oblique injury. So he's another guy that I'm watching gain confidence. He plays a significant role for that Orlando team. So I expect to see further growth in his game next year as well.
I think another player, I think next year, not this year, next year, I think Jalen Johnson in Atlanta. Because right now he's jumped up to a 20 points a game guy.
Good name.
Hawks pick up wins. Somehow the Hawks are better against the good teams than they are against the bad teams. Like their record against the top three teams in the East, they beat the Celtics again the other night. Their record against the top teams in the East is much better than their records against the bottom teams in the East, which is weird. But I think this time next year, people will be talking about him making his first All-Star appearance.
He has really improved, gaining a lot of confidence. Talented young guy coming out of high school and watching him in college. He just only played about 10, 11 games at Duke, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But showed some flashes of some real ability. And kudos to him in terms of the work he's put in and the consistency that he's starting to show as an NBA player. He's really started to take off. So that's a good name, Mo. Really good name.
BJ, is there any names on your radar for next year's All-Star game that will make their first appearance?
Well, Jalen Williams, I think he is ready. I think someone on the besides Sengun, maybe Jalen Green, maybe he becomes an all-star. But they have to have representation based on their jump. You know, if we're going to say the Detroit Pistons, for instance, someone has to make that jump to the next level. So, I think those guys, but if you're asking me, I think, with his injury, it's just about him staying healthy, maybe Chet Holmgren. But to me, Jalen Williams is a young player based on his versatility alone this year. I mean, he's basically a guard who's playing the center position right now. Just based on that alone. And they're winning, okay? He's not just moving around. He's doing it, and they're winning. Shea is Shea down there. But I want to give him credit for his contributions, and he plays a winning brand of basketball. And I always reward people who impact the game. And he certainly is right up there for me in what he's done as a young player this year. Hopefully he makes it this year, but if not, I think he is ready to make it next year for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you a little off the court question just to finish up here, because you guys are no longer going to the Super Bowl, but there's a lot of excitement around Kendrick Lamar doing a halftime show for the Super Bowl. If you could pick who the halftime act at this year's NBA All-Star game would be, who would you pick to come out and do that performance?
I'm gonna leave that to BJ. I'm gonna leave that one to him.
I'm all about the audience. So someone like Rihanna, I think would be excellent for what the what
she's,
would
she's
be
done
excellent.
It before. She's done it before.
Yeah,
I think
she has.
That's that to me is NBA All-Star Weekend. That's what it is. Because it's in the Bay Area, you could argue, I don't know, E40. You know, you want to,
yeah.
I always like to reward, you know, the area where you're at, you know? So, yeah, that would be fine for me. E40 and Rihanna. Mm-hmm. And then let's move on. I just want to see the guys play. How about that?
Good luck. I'll see you in 26.
What do you make of this new format?
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm officially
Kevin,
old.
Kevin Durant said he didn't like it either. And I agree.
I've not heard anyone say they like it because there's nothing wrong with the format of the game. East versus West is a perfectly fine format. The problem is the players don't care. And then people talk about, oh, you should have an incentive. The winning team in the All-Star game gets home court advantage in finals. No. Why did the players used to care and now they don't care? What went wrong? Where did this happen? Why did they stop caring? That's the problem. The format is not the issue here. Growing up, I used to look forward to All-Star Weekend because you would see the best of the best going at it, right? You would see Kobe picking up LeBron full court, right? Mm-hmm. You'll see Shaq trash-talking Dwight Howard. And it's all in the spirit of the All-Star game, right? I went to the All-Star game last year. I was at the game. I couldn't tell you one thing that happened on that court except for guys not playing defense and just shooting threes. I must have watched about 5 minutes of that game. The rest of the time, I was just talking to people in the suite that I was in.
Yeah.
So the format's not going to change unless now the players decide to play hard.
Yeah.
When was the last time you enjoyed watching the All-Star game? For me, it was 2020 in Chicago when Kyle Lowry took a charge at the end of the game because they really wanted to win it. But when was the last time you watched the All-Star game and actually enjoyed watching the All-Star game?
I can't tell you the year, but it was Kobe Bryant was involved with it because when you had guys like him,
2016, and maybe
was that he and Steph Marbury, they were going back and forth or something in the game? Or was that after that? I can't remember that, but reason why I bring up Kobe Bryant because I believe he was the last guy
that was 2001.
Superstar player. But that's how I say it. So, but obviously there was some games after that too. But during his run in the All-Star games, he made sure that the game mattered enough to everybody who was playing in it. He wasn't going to come out and just say, oh, go ahead, you go take this layup. Oh, go ahead, you let me take this three-point shot. Go ahead, I'm just going to let you go by. That wasn't his makeup. And so I believe the rest of the players who were playing in the games when a guy like that was, you know, still living and God rest his soul and still playing in the game, he made sure that there was enough of a competitive level happening in that game because he knew the responsibility to the game itself and to the fans who were paying lots and lots of money to come to the game and be a part of that weekend. So I can't give you the dates, but that's just me. He was really the last one to.
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this because no one has said it. Not just here, but no one has said it. At some point in your life, you have to ask the question, who am I? And at some point, you have to answer that question. At some point, you have to make a commitment for your reasoning why you play the game. Your reason why. Okay. One of the reasons is Scott has known me longer than anyone. Scott knew this. I think I was very aware who I was as a player. But I also had a commitment to myself. I wanted to be the best version of myself. The best version. I didn't come in saying I wanted to be the second best version. I didn't come in saying, hey, I just wanted to play. I actually wanted to be the best. I wanted to be the best. Now, as I went through this journey, I saw players. I said, wow, that guy's pretty good. However, at 7:30, though, I still made the commitment Sometimes I was successful and had a better game than that person. Sometimes I wasn't. But I made the commitment to be the best. All-Star Weekend has gone south for one reason. How many players since Kobe Bryant has made the commitment to be the best? Just that one.
The best of the best.
The best. I want to be the best. I'm not saying you're going to be the best. But when you make a commitment to be the best, that means every time you step on that court, you hold yourself to a standard. Now, Scott saw me my whole life. Scott, if we stepped on the court at St. Cecilia Gym, there was a possibility that there was another dude who said, hey, man, that's that dude BJ that played for such and such and such and such. Let me test him.
Oh, it wasn't no possibility. And that
Scott
was
Perry and, I would go to St. Cecilia and all the other gyms to search for that guy who they said was better than us to really test that theory. Okay? Now, I don't know what has happened here at All-Star Weekend, but let me assure you, I've played with a few All-Stars in my life. You went to the All-Star game to find out who was the best player.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, you didn't go to All-Star Weekend and hang out. Mm-hmm. You did. You did hang out. Mm-hmm. But there was always in the back of your mind, mm-hmm. on Sunday, I got to find out who is the best. Right. Now, what the NBA is missing is executives like Scott Perry, because let me assure you what Scott Perry is going to have a side. Scott Perry is going to have a little sidebar with his all-star, especially a young player. Mm-hmm. He's going to say, hey, go enjoy the weekend. Very deserving. Mm-hmm. Make sure you enjoy your family. This is a great accomplishment. Do all of the commitments that you're supposed to do because of the business of playing in the NBA. However, on Sunday, I need you to go out there and let everybody know mm-hmm. that you are here, we are here, and make a statement so that everyone understands in the second half of the season that we are the team that no one wants to see when those playoff rankings come. Because that's what you're saying at All-Star Weekend. That's a fact. Whether they know this or they don't. But you can't tell me that executives aren't sharing that level of information with why you go to All-Star Weekend, because Scott knows there's gamesmanship that's being played. When you get to All-Star Weekend, you didn't go to All-Star Weekend to be messing around, because everyone is scouting everyone. Mm-hmm. You want to see who's serious about this. You want, when we have players at All-Star Weekend, we would come back, hey, man, how good was such and such and such and such? Man, he's not serious. He didn't even work out during All-Star Weekend. What you mean he didn't work out? What was he doing, man? He was just da da da. This is the type of report that you want. You need the discipline necessary if you're going to be crowned champion and what have you. Now, these guys make it look simple, but let me tell you something. If you got a good team, and Scott has been on championship caliber team, there's a level of discipline that comes with being a champion. That's not an accident. No. And these guys, some of these guys go on vacation. Yeah, oh man, I'm going here, I'm going there. But let me tell you something. If you serious about it, them guys gonna be in the gym somewhere.
I was at All-Star Weekend last year, B. And discipline is not the word I would use to describe going on.
This is
I'm sure.
As it should be. However, for some of us, that's what it is. This is not an accident here. My biggest disappointment is you're seeing players not carry that level of responsibility. Who wants to be the best? Who wants to be the best? We're talking about Mamba mentality. There it is. There it is right there. And if you're not carrying that mentality, don't say that. Everyone says they want to do it. Everyone wants to go to the party. Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone, da, da, da. But let me tell you something. The guy who really wants to do that, he's doing that whether the lights are on, the bright lights are on, the bright lights are off. So what's missing from All-Star Weekend? Who wants to be the best? It's just that simple. Who wants to carry that responsibility every single time they step on the floor? That's a big commitment. That's a big commitment to the game. That's a big commitment to yourself. And that is a responsibility that only a few can carry. Now, when you're talking about playing in the summer, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong. You didn't step on the court talking about you just trying to get a run. Someone is going to challenge Scott Perry.
No question. Yeah.
Wherever I've played hundreds and hundreds of games, probably 1,000 games with Scott Perry. Scott Perry was going to challenge someone on that court. I can assure you, whether it was Isaiah Thomas, whether it was whoever it was, whatever player was in front of Scott, Scott was going to.
Our friend Irvin, who is a big Washington Commanders fan, huh?
Yeah. Irvin Johnson, who won the Commanders.
Shout out to Magic,
every
huh?
Every single time you play, you got to find a reason to play that game. This isn't just like, well, I asked. No, that's not how it works. But
yeah,
that to me is the most disappointing thing, is that I'm not even upset at the players. I'm upset at the leadership and the executives who aren't imposing that way of thinking, because you can gain a competitive advantage just at All-Star Weekend. Guys were in the Olympics in 92. I remember when those guys came back. Our first conversation was, tell me about all the players. Tell me what his practice habits were. Tell me what he was doing in the workout. Tell me, I wanted to hear, because you don't get a chance to see that. You don't get a chance to peek behind the curtain with these guys. So this is why you play. And if the championship is really in your grasp, Shea Alexander, for instance, Shea to me has the most to lose at All-Star Weekend. Because right now he's the best guard. He's the best player. I want to see what he's doing. What is he doing that the rest of us aren't doing? What's his formula? Well, he just comes there and hangs out, does fashion week, hangs out, parties, whatever. You don't want guys to get comfortable around you. He's fighting for an NBA title this year. So if he starts letting people get comfortable around him, guess what's going to happen during the playoffs next year in the spring? He can't afford to do that. He can't afford to do it. But if he goes there and establishes, hey, I'm the best player in the league, guess what everybody else going to say? Man, we don't want to play them. Why? Shea Alexander.
Yeah.
Man, he the real deal, man. Hey, you know what he was doing on Sunday morning while everybody else was going out Saturday night? Man, that dude was out working on his game. He took his game serious. He came to the game on Sunday and was for real. Nobody wants to play against somebody with that level of mentality, that level of competitive spirit. Nobody. Even if that's who you are, you rather see a guy. You want a guy to give up. That's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Shea Alexander has a chance right now. If I was working with Shea Alexander, I would say, go down there and let's go down here and dominate. Let's go down here and let everybody know you ain't come down here to play no games with y'all. Shea Alexander is not being friends with these players. Shea Alexander is not working out with these guys. Shea Alexander coming out every single night trying to destroy people. Okay? That's what you're looking for at All-Star Weekend. But I'm putting the responsibility on the adults because the kids learning this from somewhere. So I'm not going to be the one that's going to knock these young people. Oh, man, they don't want to play. No. Must mean some of these executives not as competitive as they say they are.
Well, they probably just don't have the analytics on All-Star Week.
Well, a lot of them don't have the background that like the number of the executives had during your time playing either. Basketball people played, coached, whatever the case may be, they were always in competitive environments. And so
I'm gonna send a guy like Victor Wembanyama. No, I'm gonna send you there for one reason. Let's find out how good you really are. I need you to compete in this game against Giannis. Let's see if you are that good. I need everyone to say, hey, this guy is the next. That's what All-Star Weekend is. Who is the best of the best? You went there to see how good you really could be. And you came out with that mentality. Now, suddenly, that's not how it is anymore? No, yeah. Not on my clock. Not on my clock. That ain't happening on my clock.
Man, we're living in the world of participation trophies, man.
It's done, man, from when they're kids.
Yes. Like, come on.
Hey, that is fair. You may participate.
I told you, I've reached unk status now.
But on my clock, the standard is the standard. The standard is the standard. If that's the standard of them, so be it. I'm going to dominate them. I didn't come here to win. I didn't come here to participate. I knew who I was, but let me assure you something. If I could dominate you, I'm going to dominate you. That's a fact. That's right. What it is. That's how the game is played. That's how the game will always, that mentality still exists.
Winning is not enough.
No, it can't be enough because some of these players have enough skill. A three-point shooter still has a chance to win the game. It's like boxing. If you got to respect that boxer's punch, he's still got that one punch. You can get
knocked
out.
Shout out to Deontay Wilder.
You can still get knocked. You still have a boxer's chance to always win. Therefore, you got to respect this game every single time you walk out there. And with that, I'm not giving away All-Star Weekend. We're just going to come and hang out. I'm just going to show up. No, sir. We said we want to win a championship. This is part of it. And then we just going to say this doesn't matter. No.
Right.
No, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. So, again, I'm putting the responsibility on us, on the leaders, the leadership of this league. I'm putting the responsibility on the people who are coaching this league, the people, the executives in this league. And then, therefore, when people understand what we expect, then it's our job to find people who go meet that standard of excellence. That's how it is.
Right. Yep.
That's it. That's called leadership. We have to hold ourselves accountable. There has to be a level of discipline here where everyone has to abide by a level of excellence. We're the best in the league. Therefore, if we're the best in the league, we have a responsibility to be at our very best every single time. It's called professional sports, isn't it? Or now are we going to call it something different? Now, I want to know what it is. If you call it professional sports, then be a professional. Now,
That was a mic drop, Mo.
Hell yeah.
Exactly.
You should follow Apple, right? Where your podcast from. Whenever you do this week, make sure you be the best. And until next time, get buckets.